Friends, when you hear the word missionary, what is your first thought that comes to mind? Maybe a person being sent overseas to some far places. Webster's dictionary defined this as a person undertaking a mission. A person undertaking a mission. And what about the word mission? It's defined as the act of sending or being sent. Sending or being sent. The problem with many Christians these days, or has been in the past too, is that we focus almost exclusively on the idea of sending rather than being sent. Sending rather than being sent. We think primarily of sending and supporting missionaries overseas or locally, rather than seeing ourselves both individually and collectively as being sent. As being sent. We need more of both. Sending and being sent. And this is not only overseas, but locally, where we live, where we are, and where we work or play. Let's first look at the biblical picture of sent. The biblical picture of sent. Too often in the church, we think of mission as one activity among many other equally important activities of the church. Something that we do together. In fact, the entire Bible is generated by and is all about God's mission. Therefore, if it is God's mission, it is our mission. Christopher Wright says, "The whole Bible renders to us the story of God's mission through God's people in their engagement with God's world for the sake of God's purpose for the whole of God's creation." Did you get that? Let me say that again. The whole Bible renders to us the story of God's mission through God's people, that's you and I, in our engagement with God's world, that's people out there who may be friends, colleagues, even strangers. For the sake of God's purpose, God has a purpose for us and for the world and for the whole of God's creation. I like this definition. It really encapsulates the whole idea of God's purpose and our existence. And when we encounter the attributes of God, we most often think of characteristics like holiness, or sovereignty, or wisdom, or justice and love, etc., etc. They are all very much true and correct about God's characters. But much less we think of our God as his missionary nature. However, Scripture is filled with sending language. From God's sending of Abram in Genesis chapter 12 to the sending of his angel in the book of Revelation, hundreds of examples portraying God as a missionary sending God. Our God is a missionary sending God. The Hebrew word to send, shalach, is found nearly 800 times in the Bible. 800 times. more than 200 times with God commissioning his people. God commissioned people throughout the ages more than 200 times. So our God is a missional God. Our God is a sending God, and we are the sent people. A very dramatic illustration of sending is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. You may recall. Isaiah said these words, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' To this, Isaiah responds, 'Here I am, send me.'" Remember the call of Isaiah? He responded, "Here I am, send me." Not send Joe Block down the road, not Mr. X down there, or somebody, or Madam, whatever. "Send me, here I am." Now, the Old Testament ends with God promising through the prophet Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament before the silent years of 400. The last book of Malachi in the Old Testament, to send a special messenger as the forerunner of the Messiah. The book of Malachi talks about that. Then the New Testament, that's the end of the Old Testament. Then 400 years of silence. Nothing. No prophet. We have heard nothing. No books. Nothing written for 400 years. And then the beginning of the New Testament opens with the arrival of that messenger. Malachi talks about a sending of a messenger. The beginning of the New Testament talks about that messenger is the person of John the Baptist. And we read about it in John chapter 1, verse 6. How interesting. Messenger talked about, nothing happens, then begin with the messenger arriving. Now, in the final climactic sending passage in John the Gospel, Jesus makes clear he is not only sent by the Father, but now he is also the sender, as he sends the disciples. This is the gospel message that we have just heard moments ago in John. "As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." John chapter 20, verse 21. Today's reading. God is a missional God. We are the sent people. Jesus deliberately and precisely make his mission the model for ours. The true and missional God sent a missionary church, you and I, that is, actively participating in God's mission. That's our call. That's our purpose. So, you may ask, what does it mean to be missional? What does it mean to be missional? We should be sending the people in the church out among the people of the world, rather than attempting to attract the people of the world in among the people in the church. Did you hear that? We should be sending out and not just attracting people in. We sometimes get the order incorrect. We don't get into a holy huddle. That is not our purpose. Our purpose is to be sent people out there, reaching out to people. Many Christians today understand or define the church as a place where certain things happen. And that's true. That includes the right preaching of the word, the right administration of the ordinances, or the proper exercise of church discipline. The church, therefore, is defined primarily by many as a place where a person goes to hear the Bible taught, to participate in the Lord's Supper and baptism, and others view the church as a vendor religious goods and services. Is that how we see the church? So members are viewed more as customer. Churchgoers expect the church to provide a wide range of religious services and activities, such as a great worship, good music, children's program, small groups, parenting seminars, and many, many, many more. However, when we realize God is a missionary God, and we begin to view the church differently, the people of God are both called and sent by God to participate in his mission for the world. The church still gathers together. Of course we do. But the difference is that we don't gather for our own sake. It's not a holy huddle. We gather for our own sake. Instead, we gather for the sake of others. Or better yet, for the sake of God's mission. For the sake of God's mission. In the book Foolishness to the Greeks, theologian Leslie Newbegin writes, "The church is the bearer of all the nations of a gospel that announces the kingdom, the reign, and the sovereignty of God. It is not meant to call man and woman out of the world into a safe religious enclave, but to call them out in order to send them back as agents of God's kingdom and kingship." Can we get that? It's not drawing people in so that we can be nice and comfortable. The idea is that we are called so that we can reach others for God's sake and purpose. This will come only when the church fully, and that includes us, fully embrace the reality that it is a called people. We are the called people and the sent people. We are called and we are sent. Now, the classic text in Jesus' commission at the end of John's Gospel, today we have heard, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So let me bring this all together. What are we as sent ones sent for? One, we are sent as representatives of the one born in Bethlehem and crucified at Calvary. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are to be his representatives in the world. We are sent to announce with all we are, with mouth and mind and heart and hands, that the God sent the Son, the Messiah, Jesus. We are to be the mouth and hands and the feet and the mind so that we can reach the world. We are sent to say and show that Jesus was sent into the world to save sinners. And friends, that's the message. That's the message that we have to carry every day of our lives. Understand it and do it. We are not the message, but the messengers. We are not the message, but the messengers. Our sending then, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to communicate and embody that central message about Jesus Christ. That is always going to be the central message of our life, of whatever we do and say. Jesus did not live a life of detachment. He lived a life of involvement. And all we had to do is turn to the gospel, and we see how involved Jesus was in the lives of others. He lived where he could see human sin, hear human swearing and blasphemy, and see human diseases and observe human mortality, poverty, and squalor. He was there in the thick of everything. He experienced everything in life, even the scumbags and whatever else might have been present there. We need to be involved as God's people, as we call, being called and sent by God. How can we effectively minister to a lost world if we are not in it? How can we reach the ignorant and the poor if we are not with them? How can our churches understand deprived areas if the church is not at the deprived areas? How can we be salt and light in a darkened ghettos or work communities of our society if we ourselves don't have any effective contact and relationship with them? So, dear brothers and sisters, let me finish by this. This we can do. The power of prayer is transforming communities around us. Pray. Pray earnestly. Pray hard. Pray consistently and constantly. Living out biblical values in a secular society. I cannot truly call our society is Christian society. Yes, we have Christians, but we are not living. We are living in a post-Christian society. And we are called to live out biblical values in a secular society. Serving others as a reflection of Christ's love. We are Christ's representative. We are sent to be his ambassador and representative. Addressing social injustice through a Christian lens, not tinted lenses, not comfortable lenses, but seeing for what things really are that are around us. And sharing the gospel message in a broken and changing world. That's why I keep repeating the tagline that we have for this year. Just tell somebody about Jesus. We are the sent people. We are the sent people. And amen, that we have been called and chosen to be.